Hello, everybody. Welcome to Shift Church on this, well, for us, it's a sunny Wednesday evening. You might be catching up or listening at another time. Hope the weather's as good for you then as it is for us now. My name's Tim Carter. That's not Tim. That's not my name. My name is just Tim. Oh, Liz won't even laugh at my dad jokes anymore. I don't know. I'm the vicar at All Saints Wellington, St. Catherine's Eyton, and I'm looking after Shift Church this evening. David was last week, wasn't he? I didn't do last week, did I? No.
I'm the vicar at All Saints Wellington, St. Catherine's Eyton.
Somebody's got their sound on.
Evening.
Is that Liz? You got your phone on with sound, Liz?
Yeah, I don't know why, because I thought it was on mute, but never mind.
It wasn't. Hello. So who have we got with us? We've got Liz with us. Say good evening, Liz.
Good evening, Liz.
Say hello, Sean.
Say hello, Sean.
Very good. So if you're joining with us live, do say hello on the comments stream on Facebook, and we'll pick those up as we go. If you've got questions or things you want to contribute or prayers at any time, stick them on and we'll pick them up and we'll try and address them as we go. If you're catching up on the podcast or on YouTube or Facebook later and you'd like us to pick stuff up, drop us an email. tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll respond in the week or include them in next week's. Or actually, you can join our Facebook group as well and put comments and thoughts on there. There's some conversation on there, and we post the videos that we use as well, so that's really good. So yeah, it's lovely to have you with us. We're thinking we've finished our Do You Know Him series, and we're starting to think about caring for creation. And I wonder how good you are at looking after things. How good are you looking after houseplants? Liz, would you like
to... You know how brilliant I am.
Looking after houseplants.
You know how wonderful I am at looking after houseplants. It's when somebody gives me a plant, we sort of droop a little bit because I'm not very good at it. I just don't have those green fingers. I'm the same with the garden. I'm just not a gardener. I'm just not naturally gifted at such things. But
now, what about you, Sean? You've got a little dog, haven't you?
Yes. Pam's good at doing looking after plants and that indoors, but I tend to, if I don't, you know, they end up dying quite quickly because forgetting to water them. So she's much better than me, really.
There you go. Have you got any other pets in the house?
Oh, yes, we've got the dog, got the bird, but Freya's got the budgie. That's about it, really. That's enough.
We hear the budgie in the background, don't we?
Yeah,
we
do, yes. Awesome.
Yeah. I have to put her outside, actually, in the hallway, because sometimes she's very loud. Yeah. And when you're having a meeting, that Teams meeting that I have regularly, I have to remember to put her out because the singing and that gets really loud. So
yeah, she keeps us company in home group, doesn't she?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
It's a sing-along.
But, a lot of people, just to say, looking at the stream, there's quite a few people that have joined us. Charlotte, Barry, Colette, I think she's a friend of yours by the looks of it, Liz, Colette. Helen Tipton says she's a farmer. Who else have we got? Ali. So yeah, we've got quite a few. Alice as well is watching.
Brilliant.
They're all saying hello and good evening.
A farmer on? Who's a farmer? What do you farm?
What does he farm? He says he's a farmer. Now, where is he gone?
It's Helen.
Helen.
She's, yeah.
Ah. You know Helen then, Liz?
No.
Oh,
tell us what you, Helen.
Yeah, Helen, tell us what you farm. We're intrigued.
Yeah, okay. See what she comes up with.
Very good at looking after the vegetable garden in our house. You've grown lots of vegetables in there, and there's some good strawberries this year, isn't there?
Yes, yeah. Sarah said that I've just had some grown, she's just grown some strawberries for a pudding.
Ooh.
I have them for breakfast on my muesli.
Nice. That's very healthy. Helen says that she beef cattle.
Wow.
And she also works on a dairy farm doing their accounts. So Sounds very good.
Excellent. There you go. So yeah, that's our theme for this evening. And for the next couple of weeks, starting to think about care for creation. And we've got a guest speaker. We've got Caroline, who's going to be sharing her thoughts on some of that. But just to allow us to breathe a minute, I don't know what your day's been like, how your day's going when you're listening, if it's full on or if it's been quite relaxed. It's always good just to take that beat and that breath. Just be aware of God's presence wherever we are. Anything that's whizzing around our heads, just to give that to God and give this time to God as we gather together across time and across space to listen to his word and to pray together. So I'm going to, we've got a psalm video. I'm just going to put on a little bit of music in the background just to draw us into worship. So let me do that for us. Here we go.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are much more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Yes, Father, that's what we want as we gather together, all our thoughts, our meditations will be pleasing in your sight. Mm. Amen.
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 Amen. So we have got some other Bible readings now. And who's got which reading? I can't remember what I asked you to read.
I've got Genesis.
And I've got Luke.
Okay, let's have the Luke first, I think. Is that all right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm reading from Luke 12, verses 22 to 34. Title of the chapter is Do Not Worry. And I really like this one. I like to read it a lot, actually, because it's great. So starting at the beginning, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things. And your Father knows what you need. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
So true, isn't it, that where your treasure is, there your heart will be.
Mm.
It's almost the definition of what you treasure, isn't it? What you hold in your heart.
Mm.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, definitely.
Such good words, aren't they, in that reading? They're just really soothing words, but
yeah,
challenging as well at the same time.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. We'll come back to that a bit later. But Liz, you've got some Genesis for us.
Yeah, so I'm reading Genesis 1, verses 26 to 31. So that's Genesis 1, 26 to 31. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Amen. Thank you. That kind of sets the background of God's creation and gives us some things to think about and how we care for it. And we've got a bit of a video. Caroline's sharing some thoughts on creation, what it means to subdue rightly. And if you've got questions or comments as Caroline's speaking, do put them in the comments stream and we'll pick them up and we'll have a chat afterwards. So I'm going to share my screen and we're going to have a chance to listen to Caroline. And this was recorded on Sunday morning. So she starts off referring to a song we just sung on Sunday. So it's not going to make any sense to you guys, but sure, it'll be fine. You'll pick it up.
About our earth. It's massive. And oh, thanks. That one. Phew, that feels better. Sometimes it can make us feel inadequate, can't it, when there's so much to pray for in our world, so much stuff. kicking off all the time. It's just, yeah, it's really hard, and we can feel small in the bigness of it all. Wow. So I've been quite lucky during lockdown. I've got a place down the bottom of my garden that I can work in. I call it my she shed. It's like a room down the garden, and nobody else goes there. It's so great. I love it. Is that a bad thing? No, it's all right. I can be there on my own. It's a good thing. Anyway, yeah, and while I've been down there this week, I've been writing this sermon, and I'm just looking out the window and seeing my broccoli growing, so great, and then all the weeds in between. I'm writing a sermon about tending the earth and looking at the weeds and tending the earth and looking at the weeds. And I just want to get out there. I don't want to do this, which is really mad, isn't it? And they're still waiting for me, but I will get to them. But the broccoli is looking bigger and bigger and stronger, so hopefully we'll have some nice. Last year I grew broccoli, and I got like a big plant. This isn't a broccoli plant, but it was, you know, just imagine. And one piece of broccoli came off it, and I was like, oh, that's a bit pitiful. Chopped it off, and we kind of, you know, cooked it and ate it, and it was lovely. And I thought, well, one whole plant, one piece of broccoli. I think it might be cheaper to buy it. Anyway, I left the plant there because I'm not a very good gardener. I didn't tidy up. And another one came. I chopped that one off and ate it. And then another one came, and it just kept going all through the winter. It was great. So this year I've got a little patch of it. We eat a lot of broccoli, I don't know about you, but it was great to find that. And even if you don't grow vegetables, you know, and or any kind of plant in your house, or not even cress on your windowsill, we're still here to be royally priesting this creation, aren't we? We've been given this earth by God. And we are the royal subjects of it. We are the people who are in charge of it and have been given the permission to look after it. And if you've ever seen Narnia, you'll know that. And if you haven't, I suggest you watch it. It's a great movie. And to do this through the creative pressure of ruling and subduing, that's what it said, wasn't it? Ruling and subduing, cultivating and keeping. Yeah, like I said, you might not do that in your own lives. You might not do any gardening. But I think we do this all day, every day. I think that's what we've been designed for. Even at school, we hone our gifts and our talents to use to make the world a better place, don't we? For us to live in, for others to live in. Even those who don't know Jesus and what he's done for them spend their days creating better surroundings for themselves. I love this because they're working with God, even though they don't know it, which is really cool, isn't it? They're making their worlds a better place. Especially in lockdown, everybody's into DIY, aren't they? They're making things, they're doing things, they're painting things, they're fixing the fence, they're tidying their gardens, everybody I've spoken to is into DIY. It's crazy. And that's just you making the world a better place, which is really fab. And kids, they even practice DIY when they're doing craft for when they're big. So when they're big, they can paint a wall or something like that. And we wash our clothes and we choose what to wear. We create meals every night. Even if you only get a frozen pizza out of the oven, you say you can't cook, you stick it out of the freezer, you put it in the oven to cook. That's how you do it, in case you didn't know. As God says, we fill the earth and subdue it. We subdue that pizza in the oven until it's ready for us to eat. So kids, next time you ask what's for tea, maybe you could say, what are you subduing for us tonight, Mom and Dad? I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it? We could do that. And there's many other ways we can rule and subdue the earth, isn't there? Right now, some of the kids may be doing some drawings, maybe. I gave them little packs. There's some places in there you could maybe, spare pages, you could maybe draw somebody or write about somebody who looks after you or something that you look after. Ezra's already done it. Fabulous, Ezra. That looks great. I love it. It's really cool. And that's them, you know, imagining their lives in a better place. They might draw their family and what they look like and their homes and things like that. They're learning to rule and subdue, and that's what he gave us to do. And those are the gifts, and that's our image of who God is in us. And we saw all those lovely pictures. They're really amazing, aren't they? Of all the lovely things. I've got a few things that I look after, and not so much the kids anymore. They're big. They can do it themselves. And if they ask me, I say, you're big now. I still worry about them because they're my kids, and I think I probably already always will, and I think moms and dads know that. And lots of people have stuff that they look after and they care for, and sometimes it takes over your life, doesn't it? You feel like you're just doing things for other people all the time, which is really crazy. But there's no benchmark in what we're allowed to say we can cope with and what we can't. We're allowed to say I can't cope, can't we, aren't we? We're allowed to get to the end of ourselves and just have a day off. That's what, we're made differently to everybody. So don't take things on board like, oh, I should be doing some potting up of something or something like that, because you don't have to. It's you do what you can do, whatever society says. Yeah, and taking this job on, especially during the lockdown, it's crazy. It's been really mad. But God gave me a great idea last summer. He said, why don't you ask a load of people to help you pray for the families in church and all the children, which was really cool. So I took that idea and I subdued it into being. I made it happen. I texted loads of people, emailed loads of people and said, can you help me by praying for a family? Would you like to take a family on to pray for? And families, if you're not part of this, we've got a load more prayers who haven't got families. We had more prayers than I did families who wanted to get involved, which was really great, really, really great. And it made connections that maybe hadn't been made, and that's when you know it's something to do with God. If it blesses more people than you can imagine, then it's definitely something to do with God. It's definitely God's idea. It was definitely his idea. I didn't think the dirty hands bit through much, but there we go. Have you ever had an idea that you've subdued and brought it into being, something from God? Maybe, I don't know, maybe you thought one day, I'd like to make a cake. There's an idea. God might have given you that idea, I don't know. You might have just thought it yourself, fancied a bit of chocolate cake, and you got the ingredients from the shop, put them in a bowl, you subdued them a little bit with a spoon, and you stirred them around, and you tipped them into a tin, you put it in the oven, and came out a cake. And then you blessed people with that idea. Or you ate it yourself, which is a bit greedy. But I'm sure you didn't. I think, so even that's ruling and subduing and blessing others. It's really cool. And kids, sometimes it's hard to imagine that you're in charge of stuff, but do you know what? God gave the whole of humanity this job to do. So you're in charge as well. If you can't think of anything, I mean, tidying your room, that's golden oldie. I know it's a bit sad, but true. But, you know, it would bless your parents. And it might give you some skills for when you get bigger to kind of get your life in order. I don't know. Maybe that's why we say tidy your room so often to our kids. I don't know. Or maybe you could subdue another bit of paper and write a lovely note to someone. Use those pens. Oh, Laura's got a little wet wipe. She's the best. Thank you. See, Laura had an idea. See, she subdued it, got it out of her bag, gave it to me, and my hands have got a bit of mud on, but yeah, it's going to take a while to get these clean. Anyway, and it's all around us. If anybody's been out there into town for a coffee, you've seen maybe gratitude. They make beautiful coffee. They've subdued the surroundings into something beautiful for us to sit in. The Walnut is another great place. Karen, who runs the Walnut, has got amazing passion for community and seeing people enjoying themselves and having a good time in her place, which is really good. The Orbit is really fab if you like movies, and they love community too, and they put on lots of community stuff, don't they? It's really fab. And then there's the new food court. It's just got tables in the middle, and all the food vendors look at that community happening. It's just happening around us. I don't know if those people know Jesus. They're doing that thing that Jesus told us to do in the market down there. It's great. It's really, really fab. All of Wellington is subduing their surroundings to make it better, a more lovely place. And if you haven't been down there, get down there, spend a bit of your cash. And it's not just for supporting the community that we do these things. It's for us. You know, going for a coffee is a really great thing to do. Going with a friend is even better. Spending some money on some lovely food will make your tummy feel great and even your mind feel better, kind of thing. A little bit of sugar picks us all up, doesn't it? And it's okay, because this is also under our responsibility to subdue what's going on within us, isn't it? To subdue ourselves and to maybe get on top of some of those bad habits, maybe get on top of some of those worries and subdue them, give them to God, phone a friend and say, can you help me to be accountable to this thing? Maybe, I don't know, pray about it, wait on God for some answers. And you know, sometimes we just have to be honest with ourselves when we can see it happening and we're not doing anything about it. We could just say, God, can you please help me with this? And do you know what? He'll say, oh, good. I wondered when you were going to ask me about that one. I can't wait to help you with it. So don't think you're doing this stuff on your own. I heard it said, actually, my big daughter said it to me the other day. Every time you take a breath, every time you take a moment, like a deep breath, a really deep breath, into your belly, breath, and let yourself relax. You change not only your day, but your future, and the futures of your children and your grandchildren and their children. We have a responsibility to change these futures, to make things better. That's what God gave us to do. In a very practical way, when you're taking that moment, you're instilling into your future generations the permission for self-care. The permission to rest your body and your brain and your emotions and to find space. And if we then invite God into that breath, that subduing of our body, we'll all be like superheroes, won't we? It's amazing. If you just take a moment, you're just kind of allowing God to step into your life and to help you with whatever you're dealing with. So let's take some practical steps today, I think. I think that's what we should do. I've done a few. And let's all breathe deeply and maybe agree to subdue and rule the whatnot out of this whole area of stiff upper lip saying we're fine and we can cope, even to ourselves, especially when we know deep down we're not coping. Let's be more real and more healthy and more open and not expect others to solve our problems, but to ask for prayer for hard times. And friends and prayers, just pray and subdue the urge to gossip and judge and honour that person's effort at subduing their lives, bringing things to you. Should we practice? Should we take a really deep breath now? I think we should. So when you breathe, don't let your chest move. Just take a deep breath right into your belly. See if you can kind of drag your diaphragm down. So let's do it. And we say, Lord Jesus, we invite you into everything we are. Help us to be successful rulers and subduers of your kingdom. And now let's remember to notice the moments when we are ruling and subduing. Literally every time we move, we're doing it. Even that frozen pizza. Those initial thoughts and desires came from him. And we're working with him and for him to make his world a better place. When we care for our pets and our plants and our kids and our parents and our town and our planet, we're working more closely with God than we can actually imagine. You know, my dear old dad was a parish priest all his life, and he always grew vegetables in his garden. He dug up the lawn wherever we were. And then when they moved close to us, he dug up my garden too. And he would pop down the garden, bottom of the garden, without even telling us he was there. And the only way I'd known would be some vegetables on my doorstep, just like broccoli, or not broccoli, he never grew that, leeks or beetroot or something like that would be on the doorstep, and no sign of him at all. I knew it was his way of spending some quiet time away with God. Yeah, he was godly. But I really didn't realize how closely he was working with God to make this world into more what God intended it to be. So let's embrace this world that we've been given charge of and notice God in every moment.
Lots of thoughts there from Caroline. Do put your questions or your comments in the stream if you're with us live, or if you want us to pick some stuff up next week, email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. So guys, I wonder what struck you from that. Sean, what struck you?
Well, I've got a comment here, actually. I was just going to read it first. From Barry Farnham, and he's saying, is there a tension between subduing and in commas conquering, controlling, and stewarding?
That's a good question. What do we think?
Well, I thought that that's an interesting question, because I was thinking about the word subdue and what we usually mean when we say subdue. And we usually mean almost to dampen something down. Often you say that you're subdued when you're not very happy or something like that. So to use it in this context is interesting, because you're using it in terms more of making something the way it should be, bringing order out of chaos. So God subdued the earth when he created, because he subdued the universe out of the chaos that it was in, into something beautiful, into something creative. So I think subduing in this context is stewarding, because we are doing both. Mm-hmm. So it's the balance between what we think of that word, what the word is meaning in this context. I'd be really interested to see, actually, to hear what the word meant in the original kind of Hebrew, what that would be, so that there's there's a challenge, Tim. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't got that reference. And what about you, Liz? What struck you?
Lots of things. I liked how, because I'm somebody who doesn't do gardening at all very well, I like how Caroline was almost kind of, you know, sharing God's permission to not put pressure on ourselves to be what we're not, and to do the things that perhaps we're not cut out to do, or even the things that we physically can't do. And how she was talking about, you know, how we cultivate the things that we're gifted in and cultivate the things that God's called us to, or the things that God's called us to look after. And that doesn't have to be what someone next door is doing, or, you know, and it can be so about, you know, she said a little bit about how sometimes we take on too much, and it's really, really important to have that self-care and sort of say, no, I can't do too much. I know other people can, but at this moment, you know, I have to say no. I think that's really important as well. So, I mean, there's loads more thoughts that came out of it, but that's just a couple at the moment.
I think the word subduing is quite interesting, isn't it? Because the aspect of the passage we read, it does bring it alive, really, what subduing means, because I think you can actually think of the word in the wrong context, if you know what I mean, to subdue something, you know, potentially think of it in as a negative thing, if you like. But the way Caroline put it across, I thought was really good, because it's about, if you like, a healthy subduing things, you know, it's good for you, and it's what God desires of you. So I think she did really well in explaining that, for me anyway.
I liked subduing pizza.
Yeah.
Next time I fancy some chocolate, I'm going to say I'm subduing some chocolate.
Is that when you're eating too much? Is it this? Yeah.
Yes, I think maybe there's something about subduing the desire for chocolate.
Yeah.
But Yeah, and I wonder if there's something about the idea of cultivation as well. Is that actually, if you're going to cultivate one thing, you very often have to subdue something else. So in the gardening context, if you're going to grow maize or sweet corn, then you have to do the weeding.
Yes.
So it's about being discerning about what we're cultivating, what we're subduing. And that kind of idea can find root in our emotional lives, in our spiritual lives. What spiritual habits are we cultivating? What unhealthy spiritual habits are we subduing? In our thought lives, what negative thought patterns are we cultivating positive ones or negative ones? Are we going to take energy out of the negative ones and give them to the positive ones? So it's just this kind of, sometimes it's a really helpful question to ask. At the moment, what am I subduing and what am I cultivating?
Interesting that Helen, the farmer lady, she's put subdue definition, to bring land into cultivation. Interesting what land means, obviously from her perspective as a farmer. It obviously means something, you know, very important, really, obviously, because it's her livelihood. So, interesting that, bring land into cultivation, which is what you were just saying, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's subduing and cultivating kind of together there, but thinking about the difference between them as well.
I really liked the phrase royally priesting.
I put that down as well, and I put down, in this earth we are its royal subjects and we are royally priested to care for it.
So it's like we're God's royal subjects. God's the king, we're God's subjects, but we're members of the royal household who then have a responsibility to be regents over the rest of creation. And in one of the New Testament letters, I think it's Peter, one of the Peters, we're talked about being a royal priesthood. And that's just a really interesting idea to play with in terms of creation and our care of creation. That it's not a lot of environmental kind of ideas are focused very much on the material stuff. Actually, we need to preserve the environment for our kids and our grandkids, and that's all true. But I think actually one of the distincting things the Christian worldview can say is actually there's a spiritual element to this as well. There's a priestly element. There's something about this is sacred space because God created it. This is a spiritual space because God is spirit. And this is a sacred and spiritual task, looking after our environment as much as a physical one.
Yeah, it's like the word pastor comes from the word priest, doesn't it, as well? And there's sort of crossover there with kind of pastoral care and pastoral in terms of farming. And there's so much that you could draw together in terms of agriculture and horticulture and the way that we care for the earth, but also the way that we care for one another and the way that we care for our souls and one another's souls as well.
Liz Nash says yes, we all have to play our part of caring for our world. Interesting, when I was on Sunday I did the prayers, and I used that Genesis as the basis of my prayers, and that it was really interesting what came out of it as I was thinking about it. And you know, about caring for the land and how, you know, we need to care for each other as part of that as well, which was quite interesting, you know, because care goes a long way, really, doesn't it? I mean, it's not just about caring about, you know, we need to care about ourselves, we need to care about our environment. And it's just, I guess, trying to find our own way of doing that, I suppose, you know, what's within our sphere of, you know, what we're able to achieve, I guess. You know, what's in front of us, you know, in terms of, you know, if we've got a garden, you know, have we got kids? Have we got people we need to look after, like parents, whatever? So it's just about understanding how much we need, what we need to do really, in terms of, as Caroline was saying, subduing all the things around us, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah, no, that's a really good segue actually, Sean, in terms of taking this home, perhaps talking to our kids about it, perhaps what can we do practically? How can we actually, what can we do? What can we put into practice? And I suspect we're going to be talking about this quite a lot over the next couple of weeks. So we don't need to solve world hunger now, but maybe just start thinking about what can we do. And it's not about beating ourselves up. We can only do what we can do. We can't necessarily everybody do everything, but what kind of things can we do?
Mm. Yeah, I know so much that can be done, isn't there? And sometimes you hear people say it's not no point doing anything to try and sort of save the earth or climate change or anything, because it'll be a drop in the ocean. But if everyone did it, then it wouldn't be a drop in the ocean. So I think it's good to do what we can. And because, you know, it's been decreed by God. It's not just because we should, but because God has, you know, created us that way and given us that kind of command. And yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, bamboo toothbrushes, everybody.
Fill up that recycling bin.
Kim's much better at that than me, because I don't like the bamboo toothbrushes.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, you can get eco-friendly toothpaste as well, can't you? It's
I have the toothpaste tablets.
So got that as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
For me, one of the things for me is I'm challenged by is buying clothes secondhand fair trade.
Yeah. We used to, a long time ago, Pam and I used to run a tradecraft store in All Saints years ago. And it was really good, because obviously all the stuff is all fair trade. Mm-hmm. And some of the things they did was really amazing, because, you know, they did we would get clothes, books, food, various bits and pieces. And it was good doing it for a while, because you know, people in church, All Saints really did support it.
Mm. Yeah, it's all on the internet now. You don't need a stall at the back of church. You can just go to your cafe direct to your home. But then you've got the kind of, and this is something I wrestle with a little bit, is that I don't like clothes shopping at all. But when I do it, because I want to get organic fair trade stuff, I do tend to default to the internet, and then I'm not shopping local. So sometimes we have these payoffs, don't we? That actually, or I find it anyway, that I, because I know shopping local is a good thing, but I also want to source stuff that's environmentally friendly, which I can't always get locally. So that's a bit, Anyway, have you got any other ideas coming through on the comment stream, Sean?
Well, Sarah Yates had just said she remembers buying the Tradecraft Christmas cake and puddings. She says they were the best. She was one of our best customers, actually, because every year she'd have them too. It was great. What have we got? So Liz Nash says we've started using bars of shampoo and conditioner.
Yeah.
Who else? Charlotte Edwards is asking about toothpaste tablets. It looks like she's not heard of those. So might need to explain to her, Liz. And then another lady, Colette, says she works in a charity shop. Mm-hmm. If I buy something from a charity shop, I always donate back something too.
Yeah.
Well, that's really good.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really good.
Yeah. I will put a link to where you can get toothpaste tablets on the Facebook group.
Yeah. Is that just, I just happened to see this on the stream, but Helen's just talking about Clarkson's Farm and saying, you know, it's actually coming out into the mainstream now. it's interesting to hear how many times he's mentioned God and the Bible and creation.
Mm-hmm.
And the program's become a hit and reaching out to many people. And talking about how we're custodians. So yeah, I agree. We've watched a bit of that, haven't we? We really enjoyed it so far. And just sort of getting back to the earth. And
I think also, speaking as someone who isn't particularly farmy-based and lives in a town, it's really easy to lose sight of how much effort and work goes into producing our food, and how much skill and it takes, really. Yeah. And the fact that Jeremy Clarkson hasn't got any of those skills and it's not as easy as he thinks it is really good.
Yeah. Actually. It's really interesting. You should watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to. I liked Jeremy Clarkson on Top Gear, obviously, because he was very entertaining. But the idea of him being involved, you know, looking after a farm, I assume is probably entertaining, actually.
It is. The sheep episode is very funny.
Yeah,
it is a bit sweary, just as a trigger warning for those of you who find that difficult. anyway, so yeah, I think we might draw the conversation to a close there. As I say, we're going to be talking about creation care over the next few weeks, so we'll revisit this. But let's have some music and a really classic Christian hymn about creation and how it draws us closest to God. Is How Great Thou Art. So let's have that. I'm just having to talk and do stuff at the same time. So it might be just a little minute. Here we go. Right. Oh, they've all deserted me. Here we go.
brings my soul, my Saviour God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul.
Now, I think Liz has got some time for prayer for us.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've got prayers that you want to share, do put them on the comment stream and Sean will feed them Sean will share them.
Yeah, let's pray together. Let's just take a moment to pause and just subdue all the thoughts and stuff going on right in our minds and make room for God and for God's presence. Just remembering that Jesus said, do not worry. Take a few moments to just reflect on what we've heard this evening and to thank God for his work in creation. So do join in prayers. Lord, we thank you for your incredible creation, your creative power. Thank you that you subdued order out of chaos and that you imbued us all with creativity to subdue the earth and to make our surroundings beautiful, and that you gave us all that desire to do that, Lord. Thank you.
Father God, thank you for the way in which you provide for us in creation, that you've given us food to eat. Thank you for the gifts and skills that you've given farmers and gardeners to bring the best out of the earth you've given us. I pray your blessing on them. Thank you for them, the work they do to provide food for us. Amen.
Amen. And let's just spend a bit of time in asking God and just in bringing things to him that we are struggling with at the moment, that are hard, and things that we want to pray for the earth and for the community. Lord, I know so many of us are struggling at the moment, and
so many of us are struggling with bad news over the last week or two. And we just really want to lift up these families that we love to you. We really lift up the stones to you this evening. With Will having passed away this morning, we really pray that you would surround them in your love and fill them with your peace. And just, I just pray for your soothing on that household, your love to be so present in that household. And I pray for everybody in that family, Lord, all the children, all the grandchildren, and just pray for your a real supernatural peace. Mm-hmm. With that, I also bring the plumbers to you, Lord, and pray for your peace for that family as well, Lord, and for friends. And I just pray, Lord, that you will bring a sense of your presence and a sense of your hope to both these families. And I pray that they will really know you with them in these coming weeks.
And for the situation in Canada, Lord, with the heat that they're having there and the problems that that's causing. Lord, I just pray that you be in that situation and be close to those who are affected. Just pray that this situation would come to a very swift end, Lord, and that that people can get back to their lives, Lord, then the normality. Lord, Father, we just ask that now in Jesus' name.
And Father, I pray for wise decision-making at every level about how we steward and look after the creation you've given us. Pray for governments and big industrial leaders that they will make strategic decisions that set us in the right direction. And all the way through to the individual choices we make each day, you give us wisdom that every part of society would take responsibility for what you've entrusted to us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Lord, I pray for our town of Wellington. I thank you, Lord, for all those businesses that are really bringing their creativity to make the area beautiful and to really subdue in a good way, Lord. As Caroline was saying, and I pray for all of those businesses. I pray that you would bless them and that they would be really aware of your work with them as they go about the day-to-day of their work in their businesses, Lord. I really pray that you would bless them and increase them, Lord, and thank you for them. And then we'll just end by yielding. And God, we just say yes to you. We say yes to you as individuals, to your passion for creation, to your imbuing us with that passion and with the ability to subdue the earth. We say yes to you, Lord, tonight, and we pray that you'd help us to take that into the week really proactively. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Liz. It's been really good to share some time with you. And everybody who's with us on stream or is catching up on podcast, it's been lovely to spend some time with you exploring this. If you've got thoughts or comments, as I said, email us in, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. And that's true if you'd like to join the Facebook group as well. Email me, we can work out how to get you into the Facebook group so you can continue the conversation in the week. But we've come to the end of our time now, and it's time to say goodbye. So say goodbye, Liz.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Sean.
Goodbye, Sean.
Excellent. Goodbye, everybody. I've got to work out. Hold on, stopping the live stream. Yes, we can wave now. Goodbye, everybody.